Where are you today? You know, again, we chatted at ASCO, but having a little few more months to sort of think about it in terms of thinking about management of patients who are, quote, BEV eligible. So adenocarcinoma could have been in the ECOG study, BEV versus cetuximab.
Right. And actually, the whole issue of BEV eligibility is changing a little bit.
Right.
It's not officially in the label yet, but I think most people are comfortable on clinical trial now including treated brain metastases in patients with bevacizumab. And actually, we're doing that on most of our trials right now.
Could I just ask what you consider clinically, you know, quote, treated brain mets to the point that you'd be comfortable with BEV? And what do we know from the data that's been presented? I think there was some stuff at ASCO on that.
Well, it would be radiation to the brain. In most cases, that's going to be whole brain. But I would also accept a radiosurgery treatment if it's just one or two small nodules. And then at least 3 weeks afterwards, and stability off of steroids. So someone who's clinically stable and isn't requiring steroids to manage that. And I think that's a reasonable window. You don't want to wait too much longer because we're dealing with a disease with quite a fast pace. So in trials that we're designing at MD Anderson, in our future trials in the SWOG, we are allowing patients with treated brain metastases to go on bevacizumab. We're also much more comfortable with anticoagulation than we were at one time. And that's good because with the CAT scans, as sensitive as they are these days, you know, you find a pulmonary embolus asymptomatically 20 to 30% of the time these days. It's the most common admission to our hospital on the lung service. So now we are allowing anticoagulation. You know, preferably you like to use low molecular weight heparin just so you can stop it easier. But the reality of life is that you can't do that in all patients. It's not covered in many cases. So we will allow it with Coumadin. But if I do treat someone with Coumadin, my feeling is you should be pretty tight in your management. And not everyone will treat someone with Coumadin, and trials will sometimes exclude Coumadin, just for the record. Then there's a whole issue of the squamous versus the adeno, or the non-squamous and the squamous. From what I can see from the data emerging, there isn't very much that's going to change that right now. There are no robust studies that show that you can treat squamous patients. There will be some data presented next week at the meeting in Chicago, the ASTRO-ISLAC-ASCO meeting, the beta trial. And this trial actually was opened up to non-central squamous tumors, meaning that if the tumor was squamous and in the lung, it had to be within a centimeter of the pleura, and it also allowed for extrathoracic squamous disease. And that will be some experience treating squamous with bevacizumab, though I can tell you that the number of patients is going to be just a small fraction of that trial that had squamous, so I don't think that would add to the pool of data dramatically. So that's one area.
What did they see?
Well, I think those patients who had squamous tumors tolerated the drug reasonably well. But again, it's a very selected group, and you know, in a trial of 600-plus patients, we're talking probably less than 50 patients, and the exact numbers will be presented at the meeting. So I think that right now, that's the biggest group that's not going to be eligible for bevacizumab. I can tell you, it makes it hard as we design trials, because we can't use that agent, and that's not going to change, in my opinion, very soon.
What about location?
You know, we were involved, gosh, it's more than 10 years ago now, in the early phase 2 trials of bevacizumab and chemotherapy. And I remember the conference calls as patients were beginning to bleed. And we had 4 fatal deaths on that trial in 60-plus patients. And it turned out, when we looked at the subgroups, that it tended to be squamous patients that bled. And it was always my feeling, and I think most would agree, that squamous histology was just another way of looking at location, because most of those squamous tumors tended to be centrally located. I actually am comfortable treating someone with a central tumor with bevacizumab. I've done it. I think you need to watch closely. It is a matter of where that tumor is. If that tumor responds very quickly and one of the walls of that tumor is abutting a major vessel, that can be a problem. I certainly wouldn't treat anyone who has any bleeding to begin with. But I wouldn't deny someone with an adenocarcinoma with a central tumor the chance to get bevacizumab. I'd just be very, very cautious and watch it very carefully.
Do you think there is, in fact, assuming that it's not wrapped around a vessel, do you think that there is an increased risk of bleeding with central lesions?
Well, you know, that's never really panned out, but the problem is the numbers are so small. So the good news is the numbers are so small. The bad news is the numbers are so small that there aren't enough to really do a robust study. There is a safety database that's emerging in lung cancer that keeps getting updated each year. And I think with time, we might get some inkling whether central location is, in fact, a risk factor for bleeding.